Welcome to episode 318 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he still gets up, but the wicked stumble in bad times. Are there lessons that we can learn from those who fall and never get back up again? Genesis 19 tells a story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot, Abraham's nephew, lives in Sodom with his family. His daughters are engaged to local men. Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom when two angels come to town. Lot invites them to stay with his family. After an eventful evening, the angels urge Lot and his family to leave before God destroys the city. As they flee, the angels warn them, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." Lot runs, his daughters close behind, but his wife, from behind him, looks back. And she becomes a pillar of salt. She lags behind. She turns and watches the flaming sulfur fall from the sky, consuming everything she values. Then it consumes her. The Hebrew for looked back means more than to glance over one's shoulder. It means to regard, to consider, to pay attention to. The scriptures don't say whether her death is a punishment for valuing her old life so much that she hesitates in obeying, or if it is a simple consequence of her reluctance to leave her life quickly. Either she identifies too much with the city and joins it, or she neglects to fully obey God's warning and she dies. What do you value in your heart? What is most important to you? Are you willing to give up on God, give up on salvation, to hang on to the fleeting passions and pleasures of sin? Before the Israelites enter Canaan, the Promised Land, some number of them approach Moses with a desire to send men ahead to spy out the land and bring back a report about the route to take. Moses approves of the idea, and God confirms that this is his will, telling Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." So 12 men are sent into Canaan on a reconnaissance mission. The spies return with a report. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit." But they do not stop there. They also give a discouraging report about the people of Canaan being huge and the cities being fortified, making it sound like the Israelites have no chance against them. Only 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, trust that God will enable Israel to take the land. 10 of the 12 spies sin by not trusting God's vision and not having faith. Numbers 14, verse 11, "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will this people despise me, and how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them?' But this is not the extent of their sin. They also cause the whole community to grumble against Moses. This discourages the people from wanting to enter the Promised Land and leads to almost 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Are you doubting God to do something that seems impossible this year? Are you influencing others to doubt?" One of the most memorable miracles performed by Jesus is the feeding of 5,000, which is a number that does not account for women and children. We know the story. What is less known is what happens the day after. Having been the beneficiaries of a miracle the previous day, many who were fed by Christ come looking for him, obviously wanting more. Jesus lets them know that he offers something far more important than physical sustenance, the food that endures to eternal life. This should be good news. But in John 6, verse 66, we read, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." They're not looking for a savior. They're looking for Santa Claus. They're not interested in the hereafter. Their concerns are limited to the here and now. How about you? Are you looking to serve? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you more concerned about your soul than your material well-being? Demas has at one time been one of Paul's fellow workers in the gospel ministry, along with Mark, Luke, and others. During Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, Demas is his companion. There's also biblical evidence that Demas is with Paul during the apostle's second imprisonment in Rome, at least for a while. Then something happens. Demas forsakes Paul, abandons the ministry, and leaves town. Paul writes about the situation in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. Demas, because he loves this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. The Greek verb used in the original implies that Demas does not merely leave Paul, but leaves him in the lurch. That is, Demas abandons Paul in a time of need. The apostle is in prison, facing a death sentence, and that's when Demas chooses to take off. The tragedy of Demas is still being lived out today by those who choose the temporary benefits of this world over the eternal riches of heaven. Today, there are still those who seem to receive the word, but then the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Past service is no guarantee of future faithfulness. We must depend on the Lord, our strength. We must be born again. Otherwise, we have no foundation of faith. Judas Iscariot is typically remembered for one thing, his betrayal of Jesus. He is one of the 12 who live with and follow Jesus for some 3 years. He witnesses Jesus' ministry, his teaching, and his many miracles. He is the treasurer for the group and uses this trusted position to steal from their resources. Money is important to Judas. As already mentioned, he's a thief. And according to Matthew 26, verses 13 to 15, the chief priests pay him 30 silver coins to betray the Lord. Jesus knows from the very beginning what Judas Iscariot will do. Jesus tells his disciples, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." Jesus says that Judas Iscariot is not clean, that is, he has not been born again. John 13, verse 27 tells us that as soon as Judas took the bread that Jesus had given him, Satan entered into him. The other disciples have no clue that Judas Iscariot harbors treacherous thoughts. He's a trusted member of the 12. Even when Jesus tells him, "What you're about to do, do quickly," and Judas leaves the Last Supper, the others at the table simply think Judas has been sent to buy food or to give something to charity. Judas Iscariot betrays the Lord with a kiss, perfectly in keeping with his brazen duplicity. After committing his atrocious act, Judas is seized with remorse and returns the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. But we learn that remorse does not equal repentance. Rather than make amends or seek forgiveness, he goes away and hangs himself. What is the condition of your heart? What are your motives? Father, from these experiences of those who quit, who gave up on you and gave up on eternal life, may we learn lessons that will enable us to be more faithful. Help us to abide in you, dear Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.